Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 27, Indra and Surabhi offer prayers. Today's text, text 20. Sam na paramakam daivam. Sam na paramakam daivam. Sam na Indra. Jagatpate, Samna Indra Jagatpate, Bhavaya, Bhava, Go, Vipra, Bhavaya, Bhava, Go, Vipra, Devanam, Ye, Cha, Sadhava, Devanam, Samna paramakam daivam. Samna Indro jagatpate. Bhavaya bhavago vipra. Devanam yeche sadavam. Samna paramakam daivam. Samna Indro jagatpate. Bhavaya bhavago vipra. Devanam yecha sadavam. Samna paramakam daivam. Samna Indro jagatpate. Bhavaya bhavago vipra. Devanam yeche sadavam. Please chant.
Jagatpate,
O Master of the Universe.
O Master.
Vavaya. For the welfare. Baba. Please be. Go of the cows. Vipra. The brahmanas. Devanam. And the demigods. Ye. Who. Cha. And. Sadhava. Saintly persons.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance and the spiritual master opened my eyes with the thoughts of knowledge. That's good. Once a couple to be discharged, he puts the little small bucket down. That rhythm. Hare Krishna began. Before I go into this, I want to thank everyone who's wishing me a happy birthday on this Halloween day. If it wasn't Halloween, maybe you'd all forget. I'd forget. I'd just go on seeing what the Lord brings about. But he's arranged it this way. And I give thanks. I'm very grateful that at this birthday, I'm in this body 87 years. But in this body, she doesn't feel like 87, I tell you. Satchitananda Vigraha. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has placed me in this environment at this age. I'm not going to give a speech on it. I just want to say thank you, and I'm thanking the Lord after all this glorification we've been hearing, huh? With the prayers. What can I say in a prayer but to thank him and thank all of you that I'm in your association this lifetime. I don't know how many I've been around, how many you have been around, but this lifetime we're together. And Prabhupada has said, you can end the cycle of birth and death this lifetime. So we have quite a journey ahead of us. I'm thankful to be in your association. I thank you for your kindness and caring and everything. Okay? No sense of brutality here. Just want to be polite. All right. Where do I start? Today we have the translation. You are... Now this is Mother Surabhi speaking. You all have heard her prayers. This chapter is Indra's prayers and her prayers, and she's coming to the end of her prayers now. A little better. It was like sucking me right now.
Okay.
Well, see how it goes. You are our worshipful deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the Brahmins, the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. And the purport. The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra and the Lord of the cosmic heaven. As to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused that authority. And now Surabhi requests Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, to directly become her Lord, her Indra. You can't blame her, really, huh? He was Indra. He had the post to do all of that. And what did he do? Daily kill. Tried to kill everybody. So she wants one she can trust. She has faith in and confidence and feels great love. We should carefully perform our duties without false pride, Thus we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees. Okay, I said the only can't glorify your guru too much, can you? Okay. What do they say? So, I didn't know too much about Surabhi. You know, sometimes I still feel like the new kid on the block because I didn't hear Krishna's name or anything about Krishna, anything until I was 64 years old. So, and all of you, well, most of you heard about him a long time. So I've got a lot of catching up to do, and even about personalities and all, but thankfully hearing his name, I became quite greedy to try to run after him. I think of that when we read about Yashoda chasing, I just said, I exercise his, I can run a little faster, maybe he'll have mercy on me. But in hearing the prayers of Mother Surabhi, for me, it came out, I don't know, the way it was written, the words came off the page, very compassionate, with lots of love, and it was like, I want to hear a little bit more about her. I didn't go into deep research, but what I did, I went to the Krishna book, where Srila Prabhupada wrote about her, and of course we now have the 10th canto and the verses and all. And when I read that, I'm going to share. After Krishna asked Indra to return to his kingdom, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who had come with Indra to see Krishna, offered her prayer as follows. I like sharing what I go through as I'm preparing for class and all. Now, when I first read this, I read this or read in another place that she came with him. I said, I can't blame him. After what he's done, he better bring somebody who he knows the Lord loves. Oh, in fact, what does the Lord say about Surabhi? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 28. I'm going to take one fraction of that, where he says, among cows, I am the Surabhi. Yes? Yes. Now, Prabhupada gave a little excerpt from the purport. He says, in Krishna Loka, in the spiritual sky, there are cows which can be milked at any time, and they give as much milk as one likes. Of course, such cows do not exist in this material world, but there is mention of them in Krishna Loka. The Lord keeps many such cows, which are called Surabhi. It is stated that the Lord is engaged in herding the Surabhi cow. So there's quite a connection there, right? So Indra, knowing this connection, he says, I'm not going by myself. And he got someone who was very close to the Lord to come with him. And I myself said, she too is very compassionate and loving that she came with him. Read somewhere joyfully walking with him to see the Lord, but that she wasn't upset with him. That shows her purity, because it would be, you want me to walk with you? Would you almost kill my kid? Get out of here. But that's my material, but mine. But she was very sweet, and he felt safe to follow because he didn't know what Krishna was going to do. And she was wanting to see Krishna. So he says in the Krishna book, she says, my dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis because you are the soul of the complete universe. And only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cow in Vrindavan, They remained under your shelter, and you have protected them as well. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigods for protection. Therefore, you are our Iter. You are the Supreme Father of the whole cosmic manifestation. And you are the protector and elevator of the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. O super soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, for you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. Now again, as I said when I read this, I just feel her love and devotion for him. So, and what I found with these prayers and hearing them and the glorification of the Lord, it is wonderful. Seems like a simple word. But when you hear about the Lord here, how he's glorified, you can feel it coming. I'm not going sentimental on you today. But I want to, I just feel that this is whatever we're hearing, of course, is for us. My guru used to say, when you give class, you're giving it to yourself. So, along with that. So the glorification we're hearing, and we hear that hearing is important in our spiritual life, right? And the more we hear, the more we absorb, the more we absorb, the more we almost become it. And then when we absorb and we practice and live it, our life becomes full. So, as I said, I went back and read the prayers through. Okay, I have more. What I wanted to, I think, is go to the purport. Because it's interesting, isn't it? The translation is Mother Surabhi just glorifying, and then it stops, and then the purport starts. But it comes together. I hope I'll bring it together for you a bit. The purport states, the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do everything himself, huh? And none of us doubt that, do we? And we know he's not in need of anything. And he doesn't seek happiness beyond himself. But yet, what happens? He accepts the offerings of the devotees in an exchange of love and devotion. Now, when I got to that part, what I find myself saying sometimes, this is God. But he accepts, and he's happy, and he reciprocates. In fact, he makes it kind of simple for us, doesn't he? What does he say in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, you Sanskrit scholars? Okay, is that the one where if you offer me? Yes, see, it's good. Okay, only one person knew it. Okay, but yes, what I'm saying though, he makes it simple for us to make offer him so that he can reciprocate and be pleased. He said, if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So he's keeping it simple for us. But we know that devotional service is really the only loving, let me put this, loving devotional service is the only means to approach him. And The prayers we say every morning, these Dhammarastika prayers, are absolutely fantastic. But the one that catches me, where is that? I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the Lord herein reveals, what does he say? I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. And of course, we see that when we follow the story through. Now, there's a piece that I have here that I've gone back and forth, should I? But as I say, when something attracts me and I feel I'm growing from it or can grow from it, I like to share it. And I think what happens, being honest, being here in Alachua, my little sharings, because at Gita Nagari, I just shared everything. We had a few devotees, but I don't know, how long I've been here, almost 8 years, so I feel I'm, you all a family. And as I said, I'm the new kid on the block, and I'm learning, endeavoring to become Krishna conscious. And when I discover things that helps me feel, whoa, I'll share it with you. You may be familiar with it, and I'm not apologizing, but I'm just coming on. I've had this piece, and I decided I would share it. And how it came to me, somebody giving class last week mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam 9464. I was home listening. I don't know. I wrote it down, 9464. And I'm going on with my business. But this piece of paper and this verse kept popping up as I'm sitting at my desk saying, what is it? What did he do? So what do? You go and you look to see what it's about. And I went. And it's the chapter, Ambarish offended by Dubarsa Muni. And you all know. The Lord that nearly took him out, right? But he had to apologize to and fall at his feet. But the Lord is saying to him, this is the translation, O best of Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Then, of course, I went to Prabhupada. Who said? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient. We've noted that. But to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. Ooh. That's how I responded. And then I went on, it says, in Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in himself, he wants the cooperation of his devotees, like the cowherd boys and gopis, to increase his transcendental bliss. And this is another time when I say, oh, wow, this is God. But he wants the cooperation. We're in a fantastic teaching and philosophy, aren't we? I feel it. Because as I said, I'm a new kid on the block. But he goes on. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to him. And then what came to me, I think I have heard that Prabhupada said all of you all were pure devotees, didn't he? Am I mistaken? I'm a new kid on the block now. Bring me up there. Isn't there somewhere Prabhupada said you all were pure devotees if you're preaching? No? Yeah. Huh? Somebody said what? Yes? Oh, okay, so I'm not completely off out the ballpark. Okay, so here I am, thanks. I'm here with all these pure devotees in Alachua. And I'm wanting to be pure. And I find the scriptures telling me that Krishna requires the cooperation, and he mentions the cowherd boys and girls, and we know what happens there. They have such wonderful times, and they're having a wonderful time. But why does he want to do that? I like this next Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he's unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Did you get that? Because he is, he wants us that way. That's what I got excited about. And wanting more prayer and centeredness, and want to go back and read these glorifications again. Thus he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him, because unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Now, we've read and we've heard, or I've read and I've heard, that the Lord wants us back more than we want to go back. You've heard that? Is that a familiar? Thank you, sir. I like a response. It must be cultural. I didn't go to the Baptist church, but wherever I went, I like looking up if somebody looks like they're there. So forgive me. And it calms me down, because I do get a little anxious. I say I have faith and trust, and yet when I get up here. Okay, so I want to move on. That had to do, what did that have to do with? Oh, what did that, don't tell me. The senior moment. Okay, what did she say? Okay, we're talking about the Lord being self-sufficient and everything, and yet he still needs, he wants his devotees to cooperate with him and to serve him, because he is conquered by that devotion. And of course we saw it today with Mother Yashoda. And he saw how tired she was, and he knew she loved him. What did he do? He let her tie him up where she couldn't do it before. So that's a lesson for us. Whatever's going on, don't stop running after him, because he's conquered by your running and keeping up. The next part in the purport, we should carefully perform our duties without false pride. Thus, we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and the Vrindavan devotees. That, I said, oh wow, to have that on my birthday is Krishna talking to me, false pride. But again, we talk about false pride, we need humility. And humility is always mentioned by sadhus. We mention to each other, and we're told to read the Sasastika prayers, especially number 3, and we talk about humility. When we talk about it, are we grasping it? Are we imbibing what is said about humility in order to practice it and live it in our everyday life? And sometimes that's kind of hard. That's why Prabhupada gave us purports, and that's why we have class and we have sadhus to go through the commentary and help us. Well, the same with humility, but I was thankful. Bhakti Tirtha Swami has a number of books, as you know. In one, he has a chapter on the 12 qualities of a spiritual warrior. You all are familiar with the term spiritual warrior, I'm sure. In that chapter, the second quality is humility. And I remember when I read that, and the way he broke it down, it was like, Oh, yeah. I can feel that. And we often ask, I've heard people even here ask, well, what are we going to do with what we've read today in our personal lives, everyday life? And sometimes we can come up with something, and sometimes, not quite sure, it sounded pretty philosophical, but it ain't easy out there. You know, that kind of thing. But you make an effort, and that's why we're here, to make the effort and endeavor to conquer Krishna. Well, what I want to do today, I'm going to share that humility section with you. I couldn't remember most of it, and it's not a lot, but I remember how it helped me, and we're here to help each other, and you're stuck with me now anyway until I end the class. So this is what he says. In this age, people view humility as a sign of weakness. But the reality is that humility is a powerful weapon. You ever thought of that? Society considers humility as the position of the conquered towards the conqueror, instead of seeing it as a position of power. He says we must rediscover the pure strength of humility. The Bible says the pure of heart shall see God, and the meek shall inherit the earth. This is the opposite of society's opinion. Society views a meek person as someone who gets abused, exploited, and denied because they do not push their case. We must realize the Bible emphasizes that the meek shall be victorious. It does not say the foolish or the naive, but the meek. And in meekness or humility, there is strength. Focus and purpose with determination. Without ego, without distraction, and without any bewilderment. Too many things in the environment will distract the person when there is excessive ego. Something in the environment will cause a state of imbalance, and the person will feel they have to act to rectify the situation. That kind of thing. So much of a person's energy is drained in this way. A lack of humility inevitably causes undue or excessive responses to situations around us. Now, these are easy things to talk about, but it can be difficult to change. And why is that? Because in this age, we are conditioned to respond quickly to whatever someone says or does. I want you right now, take a moment and reflect back on the last week. Yes. Take a moment, reflect back on the last week. How many times did you overreact to a situation? Of course, I just told you, Prabhupada said you're pure soul, so maybe none of you will have answers to this, but I'm putting it out anyway, because it's here. How many times did you overreact to a situation? How many times did you put yourself in a conflict that brought you down to the other person's level? Or how many times you allowed someone to involve you in a situation that you did not want to be a part of? That happens quite often. Used to me. We often get wrapped up in a situation only to realize later we wasted so much valuable time. Okay, that's something to think about. The spiritual warrior never overreacts to fame, success, or position. For while dealing with the many, he does not overlook the one. He or she is always concerned about each person's highest welfare. And then he breaks down humility, which was very helpful to me. He says, humility means knowing there is so much we do not know. So much we still need to learn. Now, how does that feel? Pandas. So much you don't know. You're so proud of what you do know. But that made sense to me. And it took me back a ways. I'll briefly share. During my younger days, my body's younger days, I was one of those who thought I knew everything. You know, years ago, there used to be about 5 newspapers on the newsstand. By any of you can remember, that's too long back. Newspapers, actually. I bought 3 every day. There was 2 I didn't buy. None of you old enough to know, I'll tell you. The Daily News and the Daily Mirror. I didn't buy them. I bought the New York Times and I forgot the other, Herald Tribune or whatever else we had. And I got into the, so I'm knowing everything, catching anybody. When you get to work and somebody said, did you hear what happened? And, oh, yes. And you see what that so-and-so did? And so you knew things, you know, and I'd get the book. And another thing was with 3 children, mother always feels she has to know everything anyway. So I wanted to make sure they weren't going to come up with something that I didn't know, I thought. So I read these newspapers, and I knew everything. And then, skipping over, at some point later, I was in an accident. I was hit by a car. I was laid up in the hospital, arm, leg, everything broken. But I began to question, not what's happening in Europe, not what's happening in Washington. What's my purpose? What am I here for? What is this all about? And shortly after that, I had an experience wherever I was talking. Somebody asked something, and I was able to say, I don't know. And I knew it was all right. When you think you know everything and you got an answer every time, and somebody says so-and-so, and you look at them and say, I don't know. And it's all right. So I had to go through that. So I must have been starting to practice humility. That's why I told that little story, because it was a comeback. I mean, it helped me when I read this. He also says, humility means knowing there's a higher part of ourselves and being eager to awaken that part. And again, I think based on my experience, it's a process. Because that's when I started questioning, there must be more to life to know what all of this. I don't have to buy all these newspapers. Because if you wait long enough, now everything is digital. But it's really knowing that there's more than what you got up here. And this helped me, of course, understand when I got a Bhagavad Gita after the Lord put me through my beat-up time and brought me. I won't tell you that story now. Humility means knowing that we are the servants of the Supreme, children of God. And didn't we just hear that, as Surabhi Kaur mentioned, that the Krishna chose one of his children to take the position and the post, and what happened? Now, he knew who he thought. He must have known who he was, must have known who God was, but he got really puffed up to him. So you got to know who you are so that that pride doesn't really get a hold on you till you go stupid. And this is what I got from that servant of the Supreme, children of God. Of course, reading the Bhagavad Gita helped me with that too, to get a hold on that idea. And then he says, humility means recognizing who is doing the controlling and being dependent on that actual controller. Huh? And you all are students, you've been around a while, you've been taught and trained, you're reading every day, who is the controller? You don't have to tell me if you know in your heart, it's okay. If you want to tell me, you can. Who is the controller? Okay, all right, think about it. But the whole thing is, this helped me understand humility on a level that I could relate to here and now. Of course, that Shastaka prayer is wonderful. I quote it. I tell people about it. Humble is in the brain first. What dollar is in a tree? And it's true. But when you have an experience and you understand what I mean, get it yourself inside, you can work with it. And you can be it. And as I say, imbibe it and practice it. So that's my... I'm going to end there. Because what we covered today, we looked at Mother Surabhi Kaur and felt her love. I felt her love and appreciation and how nicely she came with Indra to help protect him from not getting too beat up. Krishna is so sweet, right? He sees a Subhari cow. He says, I'm a Subhari cow. I'm Surabhi. And so he was kind of, he went to a quiet place so Indra could get to a quiet place so he wasn't bombasted in front of a lot of people. Because some of us do that, you know, when we're puffed up and we think we know everything and we're in a position of authority or management and somebody does something their way or not quite the way we want it. And instead of taking them to, come here, I'd like to talk. We say, do you know you did that? Or why did you put that over? That's that pride and that false ego. So even Krishna is showing us, if you're in management authority and you want to, you don't like what the person did, they might have done something really stupid like Indra did, you go to a quiet place, you call them, and you sit down and discuss it. You don't have to bombast. I'm in front of everybody because I'm the boss. I'm the authority. Oh, we're learning so much. I'm learning so much from here, and I hope I'm sharing with you. So, this last part of the purport for today was very meaningful to me, and I think all of us in this day and time, we can't think, how can I keep this? What does this mean to me? It says, we should carefully perform our duties without false pride. Thus, we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked, you know, the whole thing. So for me, that's my birthday gift from the Shastras today. And I hope it's been helpful to you. Any questions, any comments, before I go rambling on. All you pure devotees, come on, let me hear from you.
Not a pure devotee. Some of us are like unripe mango, eventually we'll become ripe. Surabhi is a call from the spiritual world. And not only would she give unlimited milk, but she could fulfill any desires. You know, like whatever desire the devotee has, whatever he wants, Surabhi would fulfill it. Just like Vashishta had one called Kandenu. And she would supply everything he needs. One time, I think Vishwamitra had attacked him, and she also supplied soldiers. Soldiers were coming out of her bodies. you know, soldiers and you're attacking Vishwamitra's army. So Rabi is a super powerful cow.
Yes, yes. I felt that, but still very compassionate. What I get from the wording is this great love for the Lord. And a desire to serve him and be there. Like, she gonna pour out her milk. I think later she's gonna bathe him with her milk and everything.
Yeah,
she's powerful. And
she's,
yet sweet.
Yeah, she's in the spiritual world serving the Lord also.
Okay.
She's here. From her also all the cows on this planet came about also.
Okay, and Krishna took good care of those cows. He was taking good care of them. Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay, last chance. Just correct me if you want to, or I'm in a mellow mood today. Trying to get rid of all pride. Okay, I thank you all for your attention. Hare Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.